Hello everyone, welcome to our second audio church service. We've now had a week of lockdown and I'm sure we're all starting to adjust to our new ways of living. For some, it's a time to get all those jobs done around the house. For others, it is a time where it can be a little bit lonely. But whatever you've been doing this week, now is a good opportunity for us to spend a few minutes together, virtually, as it were, online, praising the Lord together. Just a few notices before we get started. We have been staying in touch with different people in different ways. Hopefully by the time this sermon goes online on Sunday morning, I should have spoken to everyone who's on our members and friends list by phone. If I haven't got through to you yet, it's either because you've been on the phone yourself when I've rung, or I haven't got your number. So if I haven't spoken to you yet, please get in contact with me. There are other things going on. Daniel has running a WhatsApp group, which is a little thing that you can download on your phone, and then you can stay in touch with people. And if you'd like more details about that, then please get in contact with me. And also, Peter is sending out emails every so often, which have got reflections on the Psalms. And if you'd like to be added to that list and receive that as an email in your inbox, then please let me know and I'll pass your details on to him. Well, let's just turn to the scriptures now and to Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you now. And while we may be separated physically, we know that we are united together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation that you have given to us. And we do just pray that you help us now to learn more about you, to appreciate who you are. And we do just pray that wherever we are at the moment, as we listen to this recording, we will be able to feel your presence. Father God, we find ourselves facing a time of national crisis which is totally unprecedented. We thank you, Lord, that we are living here and now in this country where we have such good resources. We thank you, Lord, for our NHS who are doing such a good job tackling this. And we do just pray that you help them to get the resources that they need to keep people safe and to keep themselves safe. And we ask that you go alongside them and help them when they're feeling tired and stressed and maybe a bit frightened themselves. Lord, we do just pray that you give them the courage and the confidence that they need. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way that the government has risen to the challenge, providing so much help in so many ways. And we do just pray that you continue to give them the wisdom that they need as they continue to release policies and things to help and support us through this time of crisis. Lord, for them it must be a very tiring time as they're having to think outside of the box. Please give them the ideas that they need so that they can provide for each and every person in this country, whether that's someone who would usually be employment or self-employed or who is retired or living on benefits. We pray, Heavenly Father, that everybody's needs will be cared for. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the support we get in this country. We thank you, Lord, for those who are providing us with food. And we praise you that the supermarkets are now starting to restock all their shelves so that we can get all of the necessities that we need. Oh Lord, you are good to us and you continue to provide. Yet Lord, as we give thanks to you for the bounty that we have received, we think about others around the world who do not live in such advanced nations, whose health services are not as do not have the equipment that we have, people who suffer from a shortage of food at the best of times. Father God, We do just pray that in your mercy you will provide for them. We know that this worldwide virus is going to reap terrible devastation in some of the poorer parts of the world. So we ask, Heavenly Father, that you do intervene, that you do provide. We pray especially for your church around the world, and we think of Christians in these different countries. We pray, Lord, that they will not only be looked after themselves, but they will be able to share the love of Christ in the situations that they find themselves in. We pray for Uma in Nepal, and Nepal is going through a lockdown similar to ours. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you keep him and his family and his church safe at this difficult time, and help him to find ways to provide for the people around them, especially those families that rely upon the childcare centres that he runs to feed their children. Father God, all we can do is place them into your hands and ask that you protect them. And here, Lord, we do just pray that you help us to use the opportunities that come along. Lord, this is the time where we are at home reading your word, reading Christian books, listening to sermons like this. And around us there may be unsaved family relatives or relatives who used to come to church but have now turned away. We ask, Heavenly Father, that in your grace and mercy you reach these people. Please, Lord, just work in their hearts so they can remember what they've been told, what they've learnt, and we pray that they return to you. And Lord, when this crisis finishes, we do just want to pray that you will allow us to emerge out into a public sphere which is changed, where hearts are now softened and receptive to your word. We do just pray that you use this time as a time which will get people thinking about their eternal fate, that will get people realizing just how fragile our world is. Father God, we do just pray that through this crisis, many people will be brought to saving faith. So we do just pray that you equip us to pray now, to witness to those that we can. And then when the time is right, help us to be people who roll up our sleeves and work to build your kingdom. Amen. Well, we're now going to have our Bible reading. And this week, we're taking a break from our series in Hebrews. And we're going to turn to some familiar verses from Philippians chapter 4. That's Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be starting at verse 4. And reading down to verse 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And for our sermon in a moment, we're going to be focusing on Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. Let's pray together. Father God, we do thank you for the gift of your word. And we do just pray that as we think about this passage, that you would help us to understand it and help us to apply it to our lives in a way that builds us up and strengthens us. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to your voice. And I do just pray that you help me now as well as I seek to share some thoughts from this passage. Amen. Well, please keep your Bibles open at Philippians 4, starting at verse 10. Today, we find ourselves living in unprecedented times. 3 weeks ago, there was a cloud on the horizon, and maybe we joked a bit about it or didn't take it particularly seriously. Maybe we were greeting each other by rubbing elbows. But now we are in lockdown. Everybody's lives has been affected in one way or another. So many of the freedoms that we took for granted have suddenly been taken away, and we now have to learn to live a different sort of life. And of course, as we adapt to today, we also look to a future where once we emerge from this crisis, we will enter a different world. With all of this sudden change happening around us, we find that people respond in quite different ways. Some panic and they are filled with fear. I've no doubt that anxiety and depression levels, which were already high, have now gone through the roof. Others have had their reason for living taken away. You can't live for the weekend anymore and going out. For others, you can't live for your job anymore because your company has closed down. Self-employed people are particularly badly hit, especially those who live on credit or just make enough each week to feed their families. These are difficult times where many people around us are facing real hardship. As Christians, how do we respond to this situation? Are we just like the people of this world, caught up in panic and worry? Or are we able to be at peace, calm, confident, because we have learned the secret of contentment? Being able to be content, regardless of our life situations and problems, is one of the great things that the Lord teaches to his people. It is a lesson that any believer can learn, though sadly, it is a lesson that is not always listened to. For us to be content in every situation means that we really need to appreciate who we are in Christ, and we need to be people who understand what this world is all about. In up-to-the-minute trendy language, we need to be believers who have a strong Christian worldview. The more our understanding of the world is shaped by God's word and the gospel message, the more prepared we will be to experience peace during times of trouble. In Scripture, one of the best examples of someone who enjoyed this peace, who enjoyed the secret of contentment, is the Apostle Paul. In the book of Philippians, Paul is writing from prison, where he has been incarcerated for preaching the gospel. He is in real danger. Soon he will learn if he will be acquitted and let free, or if he will be executed. It is life or death. The sword is quite literally hanging over his neck. Yet despite this pressure, he is able to write, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Paul has learnt how to be content, whatever the circumstances he faces, even when they are out of his control and they may not end particularly well for him. How has he managed to do this? Well, to try and explain this, let us quickly track through some of the things that we know about Paul and reflect upon how they have contributed to his worldview, his understanding of his place in the world, his understanding of God, and how knowing these things has allowed him to be at peace. First of all, we have to remember that Paul is a Jew. He is a Pharisee, someone who would have been considered a rabbi. And that means he would have really known his scriptures in a way that puts us to shame today. And the first point to bring out here is that he would have understood that God is the creator. Now, when we think about creation, we have to acknowledge straight away that God did not have to create anything. Instead, he chose to create. And this tells us something very important about who God is and what he is like. We have to remember that before the creation of this universe, God did not need anything. He existed as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, enjoying a perfect relationship of love within the Godhead. So God did not create out of necessity or need, But it's been pointed out by many people over the years, including the Puritan Stephen Charnock, that God created so that other creatures could benefit from his goodness, so that other creatures could experience his love, the love that God shows to all of creation. And as we look around us at the world, creation reveals God's power and wisdom, and the goodness of his nature is there for us to see. It's behind everything that he has made. The world that God created was a good world, and we see this repeatedly in Genesis 1. God saw that it was good. So creation reflects God's good character, and as a good creator, God provides for all he has made. From the tiniest beast to the largest animal to each and every human being, God provides. Nothing and no one is forgotten. And because God has created, it means that he is also in control. As Paul looked at the world around him, he could see God's goodness. He could see God's sovereignty. And Paul also knows why this world does not always feel like the good place that God had originally made. He knows how people have turned their back on God, how they have rejected him, how they tried to replace him, and they just want to live their lives as if God does not exist. He also knows how God responded to this rebellion by changing the world. This change not only made life hard, but gave each one of us a sense that something is missing, that something is just not right. Then Paul also knows about how the good God has decided to save people. God did not need to save anyone. No one has forced him to do it. He could have just left people to the consequences of their actions, and he would still be good. But instead, God has stepped in and showed his love. First of all, by making lots of promises about what he was going to do. Then by calling the nation of Israel to himself and making them his own. By giving them his word and his law and more promises, which eventually built up a picture of God's plan of salvation. And then, when the time was right, that plan of salvation was put into action. It was brought to completion when God sent his son. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, it is possible for people to be forgiven and to really know God once again. And this is the gospel message, that when people ask for forgiveness for their sins, when they turn away from their evil way, then they will be forgiven. And this forgiveness is possible because of the love of God, because he is one, the one who fulfilled all the promises he made. We look in the pages of scripture, we look at the gospels, and we see that it was part of the plan that God's son would come, he would live a perfect life, and then be rejected by the people and sentenced to die. But this is how God deals with the problem of human sin, of human rebellion. Because God is good and God is just. So rebellion and evil and wickedness must really be punished. So God shows that he is a just God by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be a substitute, so that there is real punishment for the things that have been done wrong. And God is pouring that punishment upon his son, so that people who trust in him can be forgiven. This is the gospel message. And as we look at that, we can't think of any greater display of God's love than that moment when the Son is hanging on the cross and suffering so that people can be forgiven and given a fresh start and then discover the true meaning of life, which is that we are made to know God, to have a relationship with him, a relationship that's there when we're born because God provides for us. We're made in the image of God and God cares for us. But when we truly trust in Jesus, we are adopted into his family. We have this restored relationship with God through Christ. And this goes on for the rest of eternity. And this relationship with God is the reason that the believers lives. We want to know him better and to experience his goodness and love. A goodness which will travel with us through this life, but will then reach its fulfillment on the other side of death as we are received into that wonderful place, which is heaven with Jesus. So we will be there in heaven with God, with Jesus, in a place of perfect joy forever. This is the goodness of God which the Apostle Paul knows all about. As he travels around preaching the gospel, he knows that he is serving his Savior. So when he's arrested for doing what Jesus has asked him to do, he knows that God will not desert him. He knows that God is in control. He knows that this is all part of the plan, which means that he can be content, even though his outward situation is terrible and precarious. He could be executed shortly. Despite this, Paul is content because his contentment comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the relationship that he has with him and the certainty that he has that if the worst does happen, he goes to be with Christ in heaven. However, right now you might be thinking, but that's the Apostle Paul. He's had that Damascus Road experience. He heard Christ's voice. He saw our glorified Savior. He was used by the Lord to share the gospel, to write scripture. He is one of the superheroes of our faith. And I am just little old, insignificant me. Well, it's easy to feel this way. Maybe it's even good to feel this way because God delights in those who are humble. And it is true that the Lord used Paul for many wonderful things. But that does not mean that Paul had access to extra special graces and blessings that are reserved only for the Christian elite. In God, every believer is a member of that Christian elite because God makes his blessings available to all who believe. Paul is not some superhuman. Rather, he is a man who understands who God is, what Christ has done, and what will happen next. This contentment is something that even Paul has had to learn. It is something that grows and develops in the believer as they get closer to God and as they become more like Christ. Because becoming more like Christ is one of the things that the Lord works in our lives. Each and every believer is expected to be growing in their faith. The Holy Spirit is there in our hearts, making us more like Jesus. That's what Romans 8:29 teaches us, that we are people who will one day be conformed to the image of Christ. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's something which we grow into. It is an area in which we mature. And the more we mature as a Christian, the more content we will be, whatever our circumstances. Paul has learned to be content, whether he's rich or whether he's poor. He understands how wealth can make us self-reliant so that we forget God, and how poverty can make people proud so that they feel that they're wonderful because they can get by with so little. He also understands the positives. He understands how wealth allows us to be generous and meet the needs of others, while poverty allows us to increase and exercise our faith as we witness God providing for us. He is able to know all of this because he can do all things through the one who strengthens him. Philippians 4 verse 13 is one of those verses which can so easily be ripped out of context and misapplied. Some people might try and use this verse to encourage someone to step into an area of ministry that they are not called to or equipped for. And the end result of that is usually failure, hurt, and damaged relationships. Instead, Paul is talking about how God carries him through when he is being faithful to his calling. Paul knows that providing he is in the place that God wants him to be, then God will give him the strength he needs to endure. Paul is given the strength that he requires to preach to thousands. He is given the strength to endure arduous journeys and to face long imprisonments with the threats of death hanging over his head. Paul loves God. He wants to serve him. He does all he can to be in the place that God wants him to be. So he knows he can apply the wonderful promise of Romans 8 verse 28 to every situation. All things work for the good of those who believe. For Paul, this included being in prison. For us right now, it means self-isolation and the current pandemic that we face. As an old author, Octavius Winslow, explains, all things work together for good. All things, under the righteous government of God, must necessarily be a working out for good. Thou art good and doest good. In him there is no evil, and consequently nothing can proceed from him that tendeth to evil. In the experience of the individual Christian, it is palpably clear and emphatically true that all that occurs in the Lord's government of his people conspires for and works out and results in their highest happiness, their greatest good. We can rest assured. We can learn to be content, knowing that God will use our current situation for our good, for our growth in Christlikeness. So how can we grow in this contentment? Well, first of all, we've got to trust in God more. We're in a situation now where many of the ways that people have relied upon themselves, have trusted in themselves, are being taken away. Now is the time for our faith in God to grow as we trust that he will provide us with all of the things that we need to get us through the current crisis. We are also now in a situation where most of us have got a lot more free time, and we can use this in constructive ways to pray and read the Bible more, as well as good Christian books. And there are a wealth of resources online which people can use to help us. And we need to be using this time to reflect on how good God really is. Think about the world that he has made, which even though it has been polluted by sin, still declares his glory and majesty. We need to remember how God could have abandoned us to ourselves, but instead, out of his goodness and love, he's decided to save people. And we think about the love of God being shown as our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, hangs on that terrible cross so that we can be forgiven. And we can ponder how that wonderful message of hope and forgiveness, the gospel, goes out around the world, and how God, in his goodness, allowed you to hear it and respond with saving faith. God has saved you, which means you are a part of his family. And while God loves all people because we are made in his image, you have a special place in his heart because you have been adopted. This means God will not forget about you, but will provide for you and care for you. He is working in your life right now, in your current circumstances, to use you for his glory. Alongside all this, recount the answers to prayers that you have seen over the years, the times in the past that God has been faithful and carried you through. He does not change. How he behaved in the past is still true today. In years to come, you will look back on this period and be able to work out just how God has used it to help you grow. Remember all of these things and add them together. Join up the dots and flesh out a Christian worldview. We are pilgrims traveling through this world on the way to heaven. I've often said that the things of this world are temporary. Given time, everything breaks down and is thrown away. All of our possessions will pass on to other people and so on. This crisis has just highlighted the fragility of the world that humans have tried to create without God. And one little push and that tower is wobbling. For the Christian, our hope, our security is in the kingdom of God, in the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, then focus on these things, take them to heart, and then you too, like the Apostle Paul, can be content in every circumstance. As Don Carson writes, it takes the strength and resolution and perspective that only God can provide to live above changing, difficult circumstances. But to live above circumstances, utterly content in Christ Jesus, is to ensure that you will never give up the Christian walk. Resolve to learn the secret of contentment. But of course, I'm aware that there may be some people listening in who do not know who this God is. Maybe your relative goes off to church each Sunday while you stay at home, and this week they've persuaded you to listen in. Or maybe you are someone who is just curious and listening in, who has no contact with the church at all. For you, the message is simple and straightforward. Right now, you may be confused, scared, unsure of the future, worried about all sorts of things, and desperately looking for peace, for contentment, for a decent night's sleep. You will never find the answers to the problems in your own strength, but rather, you can find peace when you trust in Jesus to help you. Now, asking for help can be hard, but there's no shame in it when you are faced with a task that you cannot do. Personally, I'm not very good at doing DIY, so we employ various tradesmen to do things around the house, and they do a good, competent job. I know when I need help. When it comes to getting back in touch with God, with the God you have ignored, rejected, and decided is irrelevant to your life, when it comes to dealing with all the things that you have done wrong, all those regrets that you have, all those skeletons in your closet, all those things that you won't tell other people that you've done because you know they won't like you. God knows all about these things. And there's nothing that you can do to solve this problem. But if you turn to Jesus and ask him for help, then you can be forgiven, you can be made right with God, and you can have a fresh start. And through that fresh start, you will see the world through new eyes, and you will be given that great gift of being able to be content in each and every situation. Jesus is never far away from us. It is easy to talk to him. This is what prayer is, just talking. If you want to find Jesus, if you want forgiveness, just pray to him, just talk, either out loud or in the silence of your mind. Ask for Jesus to forgive you. Apologize for the wrong things you have done. Promise to do your best to stay away from these things in the future. And if you can honestly do this, then you will become a Christian, a believer, and all of these wonderful promises will be applied to you. If you do make that step of faith, one thing that you need to do is to start reading the Bible. If you don't have a Bible at home, there are lots of free Bible apps available where you can download the whole Bible onto your phone or view it online through a computer. Another thing that you can do, and I'd encourage you to do this, is to get in touch with us through email or the Facebook page or drop a note into our letterbox. You too can learn the secret of contentment. And if you make that step of faith in Jesus, you will experience that peace that only he can bring. He is the only one who can bring contentment. So please trust in him today. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we do just thank you that you give your people the secret of contentment in each and every circumstance, because we know that you are good. We know that your love endures forever. We know that you are in charge of each and every situation we face, including the current crisis. And we know that you will work all things for good for those who believe. So we pray, Heavenly Father, for one another. We ask, Lord, that you help us all to increase in our faith, so that we can feel that peace and contentment that you bring. And Lord, we do just pray for anyone who's listening in who is not yet a believer. I ask, dear Lord, that you give them the faith that they need to cry out to you for help in this difficult time. Lord, please just give them the strength that they need to overcome any pride or barriers. Help them, Lord, to be assured that you can forgive each and every sin, and you are willing to give all who cry out to you a fresh start, and then forgiveness, a relationship with you, which leads to that peace and contentment which only you can bring. Amen.